Well, as we've been telling you in news, a national sports charity has had its charitable status revoked. This is after the Canada Revenue Agency warned Biathlon Canada the tax shelter system it was using violated income tax laws. But it's not just charities that should take notice of this. Canadians who have donated to organizations that use such schemes are at risk as well. In fact, the Canada Revenue Agency has a warning on its website. It reads, "Beware of schemes that promise you tax savings greater than your cost." Adam Aptowitzer practices charity law in Ottawa. He joins me in studio this morning. Hi, Adam.
Morning.
So that's sort of a a nervous, evoking warning when it says, beware of schemes that promise you tax savings greater than your cost. First of all, explain what that means.
Well, there are a variety of different types of tax-leveraged donation arrangements out there in the marketplace. And I guess the first thing I want to say is that this is distinct from necessarily a tax shelter. A tax shelter is sort of a title that the Income Tax Act uses to describe a variety of different types of arrangements.
Legal arrangements.
Legal arrangements, yes. It doesn't say that the CRA is not giving its approval or disapproval by giving a tax shelter ID number. So the first thing is, I guess if we discuss tax shelters, we have to make that distinction. The types of arrangements that the CRA is talking about in their warning are those out there where a person is simply a dollar out of pocket and has a receipt for more than a dollar.
Yeah.
That's fundamentally it. There are a variety of different types. Some of them are very technical, based on financial arrangements. Some of them are purchases of gifts in kind and donations of different types of items, either in Canada or abroad. Some of the ones that CRA has gone after in the past have included gifts of comic books and school items, or wine. The CRA has gone after all of these types of things. And generally, the way it happens is that somebody will be, a promoter will arrange for an individual to purchase, let's say, these comic books at, you know, $1,000 for a dollar, usually offshore, and then they're valued at some amount higher than the dollar and donated to a charity. And the individual will then receive a receipt for higher than a dollar.
Who gets the receipt? I'm unclear. Is it the person? Is it a third party?
Donor.
The donor. Actual donor.
Yeah,
gets the
donor
gets.
Okay. Well, the promoter arranges for the individual to pay a dollar, buy something, let's say comic books, and then they're valued at some amount higher than the dollar, and the individual gets a receipt for that higher amount.
Is there ever, I mean, logic would just suggest that if you donate a dollar and get a receipt for $2, that something's not right there.
Well, technically, the rules say, and probably quite rightly, that when a charity issues a receipt, it issues a receipt for the fair market value of the donation. So the question really becomes, what is the fair market value of the item being donated? And this is usually where the CRA takes exception, saying
so that's where it gets complicated, right? When you're talking about merchandise or product, as opposed to obviously cash is cash.
Cash is cash,
right? You give a buck, well, you get a receipt for a buck, or whatever the case may be, as opposed to giving a buck and getting a receipt for five.
Well, you would imagine, but there are some very complicated financial arrangements out there too, where a person is out of pocket a dollar, they are lent money by some third party, together the money gets mixed up, donated to a charity. They get a receipt for more than the dollar they're out of pocket. So there are some very complex arrangements out there, and the CRA takes exception, frankly, for all of them. So.
Yeah, I would imagine they would. So when charities are then consulting with tax lawyers or accountants or with whomever they're talking to sort of set up these systems, I mean, Biathlon Canada got, you know, some bad news here. And I just wonder about the due diligence you have to do in terms of who you get your advice from.
Well, first of all, I think we should point out that the CRA is subject to the law like everyone else. Mm-hmm. Just because they take a position on, let's say, Biathlon Canada
doesn't mean they're right.
Doesn't mean they're right. So that's the first thing. And when they put out a press release, obviously we're only getting, you know, the way they are viewing the facts until a competing news release comes out. So I guess that's the first thing. The second thing is that depending on the types of opinions that are issued by either the tax lawyers or by evaluator or what have you, it doesn't mean that they're right either. You know, it's something that CRA might take exception with. It happened very notably with the purchase and donation of artwork earlier in the 1990s. What happened there were people were buying bulk artwork at, again, you know, $100 for 100 bulk pieces. Then they were getting valued at some amount higher than $100, and they would donate the artwork to an organization that would entitle them to a receipt. And the CRA came along and challenged the basis of the valuations. And notwithstanding the fact that they had a valuator out there saying that this is what it's worth, based on valuating principles that the person used, the Federal Court of Appeals said, sorry, we disagree with the basis of your valuation, and the CRA is right, and that was the end of that. So,
but it could rule the other way, too. They could say CRA is wrong, and that's the point you're making, is that it's not – their opinion is not necessarily definitive.
Right, but the that's true, and that is the point I'm making. On the other hand, knowing that the CRA is going to be attacking these things and knowing that, frankly, the valuations are the weak link in the – in the arrangements, because they are easy to say that, listen, that's not worth that. The individual taxpayers are left with a potentially huge problem, because the CRA will come along, they'll deny the donation, the original donation. Then they will say, now you owe us the money back. You owe us the interest. You owe us perhaps penalties, perhaps interest on the penalties. And then that's compounded daily since the year end of the year in which the donation occurred.
Sounds like a nightmare. But what if at the same time the charity that the individual taxpayer has donated to is challenging the ruling from the CRA?
Well, technically they're two separate systems.
Okay.
And really what has to happen is the charity has to think very carefully about the actions it takes to make sure that they don't reflect and impact negatively on the taxpayer's case. But if you ask the CRA, they'll tell you it's two separate tracks.
Okay. Even though I think most people would see a connection between those two.
Sure. Sure they would. But, you know, tax matters are private as well until, at least with charities, you can get some information. So.
But it still comes back to the basic question that I was asking, which is, you know, whatever your view, whether the CRA is right in this particular case or other cases or not, and keeping in mind that they can be wrong as well, you need to get good advice. And there's something to be said for making sure you do your due diligence so that you're going to the right people to help you design your charity and how you get your donations from where.
Right. I think that's true in any case. But knowing that what the CRA is going to take exception to it and go after it is something that I think a lot of people need to take into account when discussing their the level of risk acceptability, basically. I mean, do you really want to fight it? Keeping in mind, of course, that a lot of these tax shelters put together a legal fund right from the get-go, knowing that the CRA is going to be attacking the taxpayers.
You know, for the average taxpayer, they're thinking, all I'm trying to do is help some folks out and look at where they can find themselves as a result.
Well,
of that,
if the CRA if they would like to help people, then they just have to give a dollar and just get a $1 tax receipt.
Well,
that would be the CRA's position.
I mean, there is sort of a pretty obvious logic to that, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah. Adam, good of you to come in. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
That's Adam Aptewitzer. He practices charity and tax law with Adresh Aptewitzer Law Firm. Let's turn.